Let's take God's word and go to Revelation 13. This is lesson 6 in our series, The King is Coming. Tonight's lesson theme is the mark of the beast or the work of the unholy trinity. Pardon me, Revelation 13. Tonight, the aim is to know that the tribulation will be ruled by an unholy trinity of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. What's the application? We have three things. Number one, to resist the devil with Scripture, to defeat his power in your daily life. This is our spiritual weapon right here, the Word of God. And so we need to stay close to the Scriptures. We need to have time in this book every day. Otherwise, we're going to be easy prey. We're going to be easy prey for the lion who's roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. But thank God we have his Word, we have his Spirit to help us to know how to use the Word. The second application, I like this, is rejoice in your own salvation and in the fact that you will escape the terrible things which are coming upon the earth. Thirdly, we need to bring people to Christ so that they will be saved and escape the tribulation. And we thank the Lord even this week for people that heard the gospel this last week, people that heard the gospel and got saved. That's tremendous. And when we hear of that, it ought to cause us to rejoice because that individual is not going to have to face the judgment of God at any point because the blood of Christ has been applied to their account. And so praise the Lord for that. Revelation 13, verse number 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. And upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And, you know, like they don't have a chance against this guy. Of course, that's deception, all completely deception. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And here's our theme verse. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. May God bless the reading of his word. So here we have laid out for us these, as we said earlier, this unholy trinity. Now remember, I think I've said before that Satan is the master copycat. He's always copying what God does. And so God, of course, has a holy trinity. God's holy trinity. What is God's holy trinity? What are the titles of God's holy trinity? Who can help me with that? I forgot. I need you to remind me. God the Father, that's one. God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Trinity. That is God's, that is the makeup of God, if you will. Three in one. We believe in the Trinity. Well, Satan, again, because he is the master copycat, and he wants to do everything God does, only for evil, not good, he comes up with the unholy Trinity, and we read each one of those here tonight within Revelation chapter number 13. In the last message, we got into it briefly about the coming Antichrist. Turn over to 1 John 2. We'll come back to this in just a minute. 1 John 2. We got into this just a little bit last week, and you'll remember this verse. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And we mentioned that last week, that anti means against, and then so against Christ. So anything, and even in our day today that we live, that is against Christ, is Antichrist. It doesn't mean it's the Antichrist, but it is the spirit of Antichrist. And of course, it's all over. No matter where you look, you will find that today, the spirit of Antichrist. The Antichrist will appear once the church has been raptured. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. He will be a man. I mean, he will look like, you know, a man, because this man will be taken over by Satan himself. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8 says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his image." So once the Holy Spirit is out of the way, then, as it says there in verse number 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, that wicked being the Antichrist. After God's people have been raptured, and this Holy Spirit has been taken because he is in you and in me, the tribulation begins upon the earth. This time of tribulation, what we've been talking about, is when judgments are sent by God upon a Christ-rejecting world. Now, Revelation chapter 6 to 18, we're not going to read all those, of course, tonight, But all of the plagues that are described that will be taking place upon the earth are within those chapters of the Bible. Leading the way, that's what we just read Revelation 13. Leading the way in this tribulation are the three unholy persons that we read about just a moment ago. So let's look at them tonight. Number one, if you have the notebook, if we do have a few books left over, if somebody would still like to get one, just let us know after the service. You can still get one. We have a few of those left. Back to Revelation chapter 13, and he's called the dragon. The dragon. Verses 2 and 4, I won't reread those since we just read it. The dragon is none other than Satan himself, the enemy of God. Again, everything that God loves, Satan hates, which means that Satan hates you because God loves you. Satan hates me because God loves me. The devil is the enemy of every Christian. Our enemy is not flesh and blood, but our enemy is principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Our enemy is Satan himself. The devil is the enemy of all righteousness. You know, he hates it when Christians live according to the Word of God, because he's all about unrighteousness. The Bible says, I think it's, let me check it here. Maybe I'm right here. Let's check John 8:44. I'm getting a little weak in my reference. Yeah, John 8:44. Let's take a look over there quickly. So when you live right, when you want to follow the, when you not just want to follow the will of God, but when you follow the will of God, when you live according to the Word of God, Satan takes note. You might say, well, maybe I shouldn't. No, that's not the way you think. When you're living away from God, and you're living according to yourself, Satan doesn't bother you. He says, hey, let those Christians over there that are living for the world, don't wake them up. Let them keep living for the world. As soon as you start witnessing and living for God, Satan says, hello, hey, Burnaby Troop, the Burnaby Troop of demons, the Burnaby Troop, the New West Troop, the Coquitlam Troop. Hey, we got to get over there pronto. Because there's some Christians over there that are telling people about Christ. Satan doesn't like that. Now, we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear that. Okay? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Okay? So live for God. Yes, attacks will come, all right? But we can walk and be on top side, keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can be on the winning side because God has caused us to triumph. He causeth us to triumph, meaning he wants you to live in victory. But Satan is the enemy of all righteousness. Look what it says in John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth. Satan's trying to kill everything that honors God. You know what? That means he's trying to kill your family. Murderer. Killer. See, the family honors God. Because remember, the first institution that God created, right? It wasn't the church. It was the family. One man, one woman, right? That's a family. No matter what the society says, a man and a woman, that makes a family. Any other combinations is not of God. Okay? Which is why Satan has attacked the family. And he won't stop. But it's our responsibility, God being our help, that our family is not, we don't allow Satan to murder, if you will, our family. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Boy, if you haven't underlined that, if you haven't marked that in your spiritual brain, mark it in there. No truth. That means if you're wanting to do something or anything that is against anything in the Bible, you can mark it down. It is not from God. It's from Satan. Because he wants us to always go away from truth. Best thing you can do, decide is, oh, by the grace of God, I want to live as close to truth as I possibly can. Knowing that we have a flesh, knowing that we still have the old nature, but I want to be living in truth. He speaketh a lie, speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That is this dragon in Revelation chapter 13. He is the author. Now we have an author and finisher of our faith. Who is the author and finisher of our faith? Jesus Christ. Satan is also the author of several things. He's the author of sin. We read that at some point, I'm sure, in the book of Ezekiel. Until iniquity was found in you, Satan was perfect. The number one angel. From that point on, when Satan fell and got caught up in all the I wills, and he fell, he was the creator of sin. You know what else? He's the creator of suffering. We might say, why does God allow people to suffer? God did not create suffering. You know where suffering came from? It came from sin. Sin. Because when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, it was perfect. No pain, no suffering. And when Adam and Eve sinned from that point on, the curse came. But God did not tell them, sin. God told them, if you sin, you will die. If you eat this fruit, you will die. In other words, if you do this, you're going to suffer. And then he said, when they took the fruit, he said, you know, you're going to suffer in childbearing. You're going to suffer in work because you're going to have weeds now. I mean, it wasn't that Adam didn't work. It's just that he had a garden with no weeds, the miracle garden. There were no weeds until sin came. Oh, man. But serious. Satan is the originator of sin, suffering. Satan is the originator of death. God is all about life. God is all about brightness and light. Satan is the antithesis of that. Death, destruction, darkness. All of the opposite of those things. This is the dragon that we're talking about in Revelation chapter 13. Go to James chapter 4, please. I mean, Satan is powerful. Very powerful. In fact, I'm no match for him. If I try to attack him on my own, I'm not going to be victorious. Neither are you. But here's a promise from the Bible that even this dragon, this originator of suffering, sin, death, pain, darkness, all powerful, really, and other than God, he's powerful. But here's a promise that we have in the Bible. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see it there? Submit to God. What does it mean to submit to God? It means to put yourself under the Word of God. I'm submitting to God's Word. I'm submitting to God's promises and His commands. I'm submitting to God's principles to live by these. This is what I want to rule my life. Because every one of us here tonight, it doesn't matter how young, old, or educated, uneducated, but whatever, it doesn't matter. None of that matters. Somebody is ruling our life. Always. Usually it's the world, the flesh, or the devil. We don't want that. Let's let God rule our life. Let's let God rule our life by His Word. That's submitting to God. It might mean waiting on something that we really want, but we need to wait on God. That's submitting to God's plan, right? But I really want this. I really want that. I really want, you know, I think I could just make it happen. No, don't just make it happen. Submit yourself to God. Then resist the devil. That means you and I have the power to say no. You know our example? Jesus. Jesus said no 3 times when he was in a human body in Matthew chapter 4. We won't turn there for time, but in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted 3 times, and 3 times Jesus resisted the devil with Scripture. And then guess what the devil did? He hightailed it out of there. Gone. Because the Word of God is undefeated. Amen, Pastor. It's undefeated. I'm not undefeated, but the Word of God is. Every time I apply the Word of God, it's going to win. The devil will flee. Wow. Jesus won in that desert land, tired, hungry, thirsty, and yet here came the devil talking about turning things to bread. Here came the devil talking to him about having his own kingdom and so forth and so on. And yet he won the battle by the power of the Spirit of God, which was the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 20, please. Here we find the end of the dragon. Don't be intimidated by the dragon. Don't try to take on the dragon by yourself, but don't be intimidated. We have God. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. Submit to God, resist the devil, and it's a win-win every time. Now, it's easier said than done, right? Which is true. But there's the formula. Revelation 20, verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon." There he is. The dragon. "That old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." Go to verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them," this is a hallelujah verse, "was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night." How long? Forever. So this is the end of the dragon. 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. He's let out for a little while. A battle takes place. But his final ending is Revelation 20, verse number 10. And we say, praise the Lord for that. That's the dragon. Secondly, we see the beast back in Revelation 13, verse 1. This is an individual whom the devil gives power and authority to. The beast, we believe, to be the Antichrist. Revelation 13:3 says, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and the world wondered after the beast." The beast, as set before us in Revelation 13, is the masterpiece of delusion. So Satan is using the beast, if you will. Look at number 4. We read this earlier. This is what Satan is after. "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast." So because of the beast, they worshiped the dragon. And again, that's what Satan is after anyway in the first place. He's just using this beast for his own good, if you will. This is the beast. Then we have, thirdly, we'll spend the rest of our time on the third part of the unholy Trinity, and that is the false prophet. The false prophet will be a man just as the beast. False systems or empires are dealt with by God on earth, but persons are cast into the lake of fire. Let's turn over to Revelation 19, and we'll come back to 13, so hold your finger there. Revelation 19, 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. So there's two of the unholy trinity that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both, the beast and the false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. This is the final place, if you will, the end of the false prophet. Verses 12 to 15 of Revelation 13 describe the work of the false prophet. Firstly, he's going to exercise the power of the Antichrist, which we were mentioning a moment ago, causing the world to worship the first beast, the one that we just were talking about. Secondly, he will perform great wonders, bring down fire from heaven in the sight of men. We see that in verse 13. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Of course, when someone does that, people will take note. He will deceive earth dwellers by means of his miracles. Again, Jesus performed miracles. So here we see Satan with his unholy trinity doing the very same thing, performing miracles. Four, he will cause the people to make an image of the beast. He will give life to the image and destroy all who will not worship the image of the beast. Worship or die is what the false prophet will do. Verse 15, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. In verses 16 to 18, notice something. If you don't have the mark of the beast, you will starve, basically, at some point. Verse 16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell. So no purchasing, no selling without this. And you know, when Christians read this, you know, hundreds of years ago even, you might wonder about it. But as we read it in 2026, we realize how far technology has come, and we can recognize how quickly these kind of things, and some of these things are already even happening in our world today, with different chips that can be put in and can be read and scanned even when they're inserted into someone's body. And, you know, again, hundreds of years ago, this type of thing might have been a little bit difficult for people to grasp, and we understand that. But now, today, as we sit here today, we can definitely see how this would be very easy to do. This mark, okay, which I don't really think is going to be something like with ink, okay? It'll be of some other nature. And so as we consider this, all of this, what's coming, right? He says, verse 17, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And we see that number to be 666, 600, 666. This is the number of the beast. Two things. We mentioned them earlier, but let me bring them again to you as we consider this horrific time and all that will be taking place. First, be thankful for your own salvation. If you're saved here tonight, be thankful. As we go through something like this and you're reading something like this, it's definitely a time to pause and thank God for the person who shared the gospel with you. Thank God for the person that prayed for you to get saved. Thank God for the radio preacher, television preacher, however you heard the gospel. Maybe you heard it more than once. Finally, you got saved. Praise the Lord for that. However you got saved, as we look at this, it's an opportunity for us to thank God for the plan of salvation and the fact that we will escape these things which are coming to earth. And be thankful for that. And praise God for that. But we don't just sit down and say, thank you, God, and praise Him. The second thing that we should really be praying about are the souls of men and women that you may know, family members that you may know, friends that you may know, co-workers that you may know. We have on our prayer page, a section on our prayer page. I have it here tonight. I should have gone through and counted up how many names are on here. But it's called Harvest Field. Harvest Field. What it represents, there's 27 listings, but there's more than one name on each number normally. And what it represents are people that we're praying for. Their names are listed here. People that we're praying for every week because, as far as we know, they're not saved. Which means, should the Lord return or should they pass away, they're going to go through judgments at some point in their life. Maybe they're not going to go through this if they pass away, but they're going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And so as we think about what we're not going to experience, it ought to cause us, number one, to be thankful, but it also ought to cause us to do everything we can first to pray for people that do not know the Lord. This is why we highlight three missionaries of the week. Why do we have these three missionaries in here every week? Because there are people living where they are preaching the gospel who, if they do not get saved, they're going to experience the judgment of God. And so, yes, we want to take care of our missionaries' financial needs and their rent and for their food and all of that. Why? Because they're there representing churches like Anchor Baptist, but the main objective is to get the gospel to people, to tell them how much God loves them, to tell them how much God has given, how God gave Christ to die for them, how He's buried and rose again. The gospel, right? 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel, to share that with them. Why? Because this judgment is coming. And we who know this, we are responsible with the information that we know. We are responsible to take that information and use it to go out into this world and tell them about Christ. That is the message that our world needs in 2026. Some would say it needs this message and that message. I say to you, it needs one message. It needs Christ, crucified, buried, and risen again, and soon coming back. I'm thankful for my salvation, but I also know that I have a responsibility to, by the grace of God, pray for people that are not saved, but also do everything I can to get the gospel to people that are lost. This is the time to win people before real darkness. And it's getting darker. It's getting darker. But praise God, we have the light. You have the light. Let's not focus on the darkness. Yes, it's there. Let's focus on what we have. And what we have is the light of the glorious gospel. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We have darkness now, but not as it will be in the coming days of judgment. We have the unholy Trinity, the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. The dragon is already doing his destructive deeds right now. It's only going to get stronger. In this time, it's only going to get stronger, but he's even doing it now. But I'm so thankful we can submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you for listening. I wonder tonight, as you think about this lesson, Can you think of anyone in your life that's not saved yet? Can you think of a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker? Is there anybody in your life right now, and I'm sure we all have names, would you take just a moment to bring their name before the Lord? In the quietness of this moment, real people with a real soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. There's no third option. Would you pray for them right now? Pray that you might have an opportunity, maybe even to speak to them this week about Christ.